listening to the CCA Podcast.
Is that every one of us needs a course correction. I remember reading one time about 95% of the time, a pilot is going to file a flight plan, but about 95% of the time, he's a little bit off course because of different things that happen, weather and timing and the wind and everything, and so you're constantly having to course correct. I was reading a devotional for a Lenten devotional, so it's a daily devotional for the period of Lent, just a few weeks ago. And in that devotional, this author talked about the fact that Lent serves as a kind of a course correction for the believers. And that caught my attention and caught something in my spirit, and I began to think, yeah, what about that theme, course correction? And what occurred to me is that as I was reading the scriptures of how Jesus responded to the disciples, especially in the last period of time before his passion, he was constantly bringing correction. He was helping them to understand, boy, no, you got to look at this from a different perspective. And in terms of leadership, in terms of relationships, in terms of money, in terms of hope and expectation, in terms of prayer, he was gently weaving them, you know, bringing them back to the pathway of this is what it looks like to follow me. And the thing is that we're always, all our life long, are going to need course correction. Now, let me just say a little bit about Lent, because I realize that in the Assembly of God tradition, we really we don't have a history of practicing Lent. So, you know, I grew up in this church, and one of the things that I knew about Lent was that's what the Catholics did, and you know, and Lent was something with, you know, for whatever reason I didn't exactly get it, but they talked about giving up something for Lent, and I had no idea what Lent was about, and in truth, I knew very little about Lent until Karen and I moved to Germany, where it's not just the Catholic Church that practices Lent. It's actually practiced in many denominations all throughout the world. It's just in our Pentecostal tradition, we've kind of been anti-liturgical. And so, you know, we haven't, those things felt very churchy. They felt high churchy to us, or they felt liturgical to us. But Lent arose very early in the church out of a desire of Christians to emulate Christ, to follow Christ in 40 days of fasting. And so way back in the 4th century, there were already practices pre-Easter of people spending 40 days, now not fasting completely, you know, for that necessarily for that 40 days, but spending time in each of those 40 days where they would fast and where they would deliberately give up something for the sake of following Christ. Fasting is never designed as an instrument to attain righteousness. Fasting is something where we tune our senses to God, where it gives us that opportunity of focusing in a little bit more tightly, of listening more closely to the Holy Spirit. It's a time where we say, I'm going to give up something that I really like, that is really attractive to my flesh, in order to tune my senses to the spiritual nature. And so the 40 days, you know, it's a little confusing because Lent starts with Ash Wednesday, which is this Wednesday, and goes up until Good Friday. And so that's more than 40 days. But in the Catholic tradition, what developed was you had 40 days of fasting, but those didn't include the Sundays. Sundays weren't fasting days. Sundays were celebration days. So it's 40. It adds up if you count from Ash Wednesday up until Good Friday and exclude the Sundays. That comes up to 40 days. So that's where you get the 40 days of fasting. Ash Wednesday developed also very early in the church as a time where those who were penitent, those who had gone their own way, the prodigals who were returning, and actually in some of the early days, it was those who had denied their faith, those who had denied faith under the threat of persecution, they were given an opportunity to come back and to say, no, you're still part of the family. Just repent and God forgives you. Just like he forgave Peter, who denied the Lord. And so even if you deny the Lord, you're not out of it. And so Ash Wednesday, they would apply the ashes to the forehead of the penitent person as a symbol of I'm repenting, I'm turning from my brokenness and turning to the wholeness of Christ. And so they would wear the ashes on their forehead. And then other Christians began to say, well, no, I want that too, you know. Excuse me. I'm gonna do my Ricola here. And we will, this is a sign of my humanity and my frailty. So actually what happened then was they would apply the ashes on the forehead as a symbol of the frailty and the brokenness and the fallenness of our humanity, but the fact that Jesus changes and transforms that through his cross.